Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for So You Think You're an Adult. We're joined once again by Aideen O'Connell and Barbara Scully. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Here's your first question. Owen says, wants to know, could we mention the company in this question so he could keep an eye on any vacancies? A few months ago, after a very boozy work night out celebrating a big sales win, I ended up having a threesome with my boss and another woman from the office. It seemed like a bit of madness at the time, and I assumed that we'd all pretend it never happened. The problem is, they're all married or in relationships. My boss is engaged to a man who also works at the company, and he's someone I genuinely call a friend. The other woman is married too, and I sometimes play golf with her husband on Saturday mornings. Since that night, God, you're a peach, you are. Since that night, both women have been flirting with me in the office. There are little jokes, looks and comments that only the three of us understand. It's making me increasingly uncomfortable that I'm in some weird triangle. Tomorrow we have another end of month work party after landing a huge deal. There'll be plenty of free drink, and both women have hinted they'd like a repeat of what happened. My moral compass is working at the moment, and I know it can't happen again, but as soon as the drink is in, I know I'll be thinking something different. I feel really guilty. I don't want to break the bro code with these lads. You have already, who are genuinely sound. How do I keep my distance on Friday? Or should I pull a sickie and just not go? It's very relatable. We've all been there.
Yeah.
I was just going to say
this just happens.
Aideen, you laughed a bit too heartily at that one.
She did, yeah. I would just like to say this is well beyond my pay grade.
Yeah.
Like, well beyond it. But there's one thing in this letter that really genuinely does shock me. And that is the mention that golfers would engage in threesomes. Like, that's changed everything I ever thought
well,
I golfers, knew about golfers.
Yeah, golf's moved into the, whatever, 21st century.
There's a lot of hours, you see, gone. There's a lot of hours
that's
gone a, in the day.
That blew me away.
Does it really take that
long? Well, I suppose this fella's a golfer. Maybe he doesn't, maybe he's more of a threesomer than, I don't know.
Do they have foursomes in golf?
I don't know.
Four balls.
Oh, that's what that means then.
Yeah, I never knew what that was about.
I often wondered.
I think the funniest part of this is when you said my moral compass is working at the minute. Lad, your moral compass is spinning. Like, you know well. He goes, I know it can't happen again, but as soon as the drink is in, I know I'd be thinking something different. So to me, that means you're thinking about it already.
Yeah,
you will
absolutely.
Do it again. 100%.
Yeah.
That's what I have picked up, and you need
you
to
don't
put,
think he's a man.
No, it is a man.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't buy into the fact that he's not into repeating this little adventure. And the whole thing about the moral compass, like, if that was real, we'd all drink and drive.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Because we'd all be dead sensible, and then we'd get to the pub and we'd have a few drinks and we'd go, no, sure, I'm grand. I'm going to get into the car now and drive home. So
he's trying to justify what happened,
yeah.
I think.
No.
And trying to justify it happening again.
And I think he's all into it happening again.
And these little jokes that only the three of us understand.
Yeah. No. And I don't know why. I mean, he hasn't mentioned a relationship, has he? No, he hasn't.
Well, no, he doesn't seem to have
one. He's not in a relationship. So his guilt is stemming from the fact that he engaged in this adventure with two people who were in relationships.
Yes.
So why is he feeling guilty? Like, if they're not guilty, then why is he feeling guilty?
Indeed.
There's nothing for him to feel guilty about. If he's into it, off you go. And if it's all consensual and everybody's happy, what's the problem? I think he's looking for us to give
permission. He's looking for us to be like, you go on ahead.
So can I say, go ahead. Just go ahead. And don't be worried about it.
Yeah, you should definitely go for it again. It's the first text that's come in.
There you go. Well, I agree with that. I concur with that. Go again.
And it takes two to tango when it comes to flirting.
Well, it's three.
They both three to tango
what you call
in this
that,
situation.
Then? That's a fandango.
He's not in a relationship. The other two women are. So, yeah.
Yeah. But then you do have to have some sort of...
Do you?
Like, you have to be a bit of cop on in the sense that, like, you know, I know he doesn't have a relationship, but also you are involved in infidelity of some sort.
But that's if it wasn't him, they'd be involved with, perhaps with somebody else. So, you know, I don't really think he's got anything
maybe
to feel guilty
maybe
about.
Maybe I'm a bit of a prude.
If,
I'm like, pull a sickie, go home, get a Chinese, watch a bit of Netflix.
No. I'm like, off you go and enjoy it if everybody's happy.
Don't be messing with your life.
Really? No.
It probably won't affect his life.
Well, yeah.
It's the other two relationships that would be devastated
if
this comes out.
These things always have a way of coming out. So the secret will be let out at some point.
Do you reckon?
And does he? Oh, yeah. These things, lads, if it isn't found out, there are rumours already going around that office. Because right. these are small little ecosystems.
Well, I suppose the worrying one is the one that one of the lads or one of the women has a husband who works in the company as well. Yeah. So he's the one who's most likely to hear if it starts going around the grapevine in the office. Yeah.
Or I don't know, what golf clubs very gossipy, probably.
Well, look at they. Yeah. Well, if they're having threesomes, they're definitely gossiping. God yeah. knows what they're doing in golf clubs. I mean, yeah, it's totally changed everything I thought I knew about golf clubs. But yeah, no, I think I say off you go. You clearly enjoyed it. Everybody enjoyed it. And I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah. Threesome guy is just boasting.
Maybe that's why he wrote into us.
Another text says, but he's friends with the other two guys. Yeah, I didn't stop him the first time. Tell those women you have syphilis. Works every time? Question mark. How do you know it works every time? Yeah, that's the story we'd like to hear. have you tried that one before? No, I mean, okay, they're both in relationships, but he's culpable as well. And he obviously...
Oh, he is.
You know, he's aware of that and he knows the two, you know, the two men in question.
But is he culpable? I mean, it's not like he's looking to have an affair or a relationship or fall in love with one of them.
Or two of them.
But I'm not sure that he is culpable then. If they're into having this threesome and if they're not having it with him, chances are they're going to have it with somebody else.
But he is friends. Yeah. But he is basically friends with the two men husbands in question. And there is a bit of role code. Like, do you know, if that was the other way around, like, there'd be war.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think he needs to have...
He's not a very good friend. I'm not saying he's a good friend. Like, he clearly isn't a good friend when he knows that the two lads involved. So he clearly isn't a good friend. I'm not giving him any bouquets, but I am saying, stop hiding behind moral dilemmas. And if this is what you're into, go and do it.
You're just trying to justify it yourself.
Yeah, and I'm giving you permission.
Barbara is giving you the go-ahead.
Yeah, go.
No, and he's also saying, as soon as there's a few drinks, I just can't control myself.
That's ridiculous nonsense.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous nonsense.
He's his mind made up. Why did you even write in?
Because he wants us to give him permission.
Yeah, I think he does. Ed says, what's this guy's problem? He's just had the sort of encounter most guys dream about. And the women concerned seem to be up for round two. Happy days. Enjoy it, says Ed.
I think Ed might be
Somebody else says, lucky bastard. Maybe he did, just to brag, really.
Maybe that's what he wants, and he's delighted that you're reading out all those messages now from fellas who are mad jealous.
He's smiling away now.
He's laughing.
He's laughing.
And it's, what, Thursday? Yeah, tomorrow night
he's probably making plans.
If you do go again, write in and let us know how it all panned out.
Yeah, go on.
And then write in and let us know when it all blows up in your face because the fellas can't find out.
And if anyone thinks they know, because there are rumours gone around already. That is what happens in offices. So there are people who know that this threesome may have happened. And if you are in that company, please do write in.
If he doesn't raise his game, bye-bye pay raise. Adrienne says, he said he calls the other guy a friend on International Friendship Day. Some friend. Which it is today.
Is it today International Friendship Day?
It is, apparently.
Aww,
so.
Well, that's sad.
Tomorrow is International Bonk Your Friend's Wife Day, obviously.
And the day after that is International Threesomes Day. Yeah.
I don't know, though, if every man dreams of this.
No, I don't.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
I don't know.
I don't know how it works. You know, I understand when it's two people. I just don't understand what goes where at what point with three people.
I could give you an answer to this. It's probably too rude for this hour of the day.
I don't know.
Maybe
the women are in open relationships, perhaps. He's a shoe-in for the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup. Boom, boom. Very good.
I wonder, do the two women, though, had they that planned? Because they're obviously so fine with it. So they are. But they've obviously... I wonder, have they had some sort of...
And have they done it before? Is this just what happens at nights out?
And they seem so fine with it. Like, so they are obviously...
Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah, that's a good point. Because it's not like, whoa, I'm uncomfortable after this.
It's not like these three people just came together and were like, oh my God, like these... I presume these two women have had pre-discussions about this.
And have had perhaps intimate relationships, just the two of them.
And maybe have done this before. Like, I just think that could be very plausible here.
It was the first time for all of them. How does that conversation even happen? Yeah.
Even when you're that drunk out, isn't it?
God, office politics and office life has really changed since my day.
Yeah, well, one texter is annoyed, saying, please give a solution.
I've given the solution.
As I have this problem all the time.
Well, Barbara says, go on.
I say green light. And you're saying orange light or red light?
I'm like, just stay home.
Stay home with the Chinese.
Stay home with the Chinese.
Sean, you want to cast the deciding vote?
It's they're all consenting adults. So,
yeah, that's what I think. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, but stop hiding behind your moral compass.
A few drinks. What am I going to do?
That's nonsense.
Yeah. I say go for it. It's all consensual. I know they have other commitments, but as they say, variety is the spice of life.
Right then, Ted.
Hope the radio is off in that office. I'm a man who had a threesome with two women, and even I still fantasize about having a threesome with two women. There you go.
Okay.
Well, was it as good? Jesus, I'd be happy with a twosome.
I'm getting such a good scoop of like Irish life at the minute here. Society thinks.
Things have changed since my day. That's all I can say.
Anyway, both women are asking themselves, what has this to do with golf? Yeah. We are. I'm asking too, really. We're all kind of ignorant of golf, of the golf world and what they're all up to there. I gave up alcohol 8 months ago. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made. I sleep better, I feel healthier, and I don't miss the hangovers one bit. What I do miss are my friends. Our social life has always revolved around the pub. And since I stopped drinking, I seem to have drifted to the edge of the group. They still invite me sometimes, but I'm the one sipping sparkling water while everyone else gets louder as evening goes on. A couple of the girls have joked that I've become boring. And while they probably mean it as banter, it is true. I used to be the one up dancing on chairs, chatting to everyone, life and soul of the party, but that's all changed now. I'm starting to feel as though giving up alcohol has cost me my friendships. I don't want to spend my weekends at home while everyone else is out together. I was never a problem drinker, so could I just start drinking again? Is this the only way not to feel like the odd one out? Ooh.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. And I'd say it's a very common one now because a lot more people are looking at their relationship with alcohol. And I know a lot of people my own age, even younger in their 20s, who aren't drinking or who've stopped drinking. And like one of the trickiest things to navigate is your social life afterwards. Mm. Because I know myself, like, in terms
why
of socializing,
20-year-olds not drinking. This is another like I've all.
I know it's a big thing.
It's a big thing. They're not like they're much more health conscious. They're all into high rocks and running and health and wellness.
The world's like, going to hell in a handcart.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Really,
you see, you know what? There's nothing to rebel against. That's you see, we're too nice to them when they were kids. That's the problem.
I think as well,
if we
like,
lock
yeah.
them up. And giving them
and
a hard time
a few times
and like as well like I think they're really afraid of being like caught on camera and like just
of course that
you
is
know,
a thing
we used to have digital cameras or we used to go
actually your man at the threesome would want to be thinking about that now
you want to be careful too
obviously this woman is never going to be invited to take part in the threesome now
the moral compass shall remain intact
but 8 months isn't a long time since you made that decision. So, like, I think give yourself a bit of grace there. But I think, like, this would be a problem I would have. I know I would if I went off the drink, if I didn't go out.
You'd like, be hungover then, like the way you are today.
She thought I was hungover when I wish I was. It would have been a better story.
Yeah, I was so disappointed.
Yeah, she was like, I live off you're so boring. And I
lives,
like,
yeah.
No. But, like, I know. Because how I socialise and how all my friends socialise and how we see each other is nights out.
Yeah.
Like, and I can imagine if I stopped drinking, I don't know how I'd meet the girls as much. And I know her friends and my friends would tell me I'm boring too if I stopped.
Yeah.
And that'd be quite hurtful. But I think there's like two sides to this now. She has to make more of an effort, I think. Both sides have to make more of an effort, but she has to actively now look for different ways to socialise.
I don't know.
Maybe it's different groups or something. And she maybe has to have a chat with her friends to be like, you know, I'm not going out anymore. I'm not drinking. So is there any way like we can put dates in the diary for like coffee dates? Now, like I just...
That's not the same.
I know it's not the
that
same.
Is different.
It's not the same.
That is different.
But people
I can
make
relate
that
to this. I give up drink for over 2 years during menopause because I couldn't drink anymore. Every drink gave me a screaming migraine that lasted for 3 days.
Ouch.
I didn't want to give up, but I had to give up. And I understand exactly how this woman is feeling because you, and I think this is probably something to do with the country we live in and the culture and all the rest of it. But if you go out on a night, whether it's in the pub or in somebody's house and you're not drinking, standing there with your fizzy water while everybody else is getting rash hours does make you feel like you're on the outside.
Oh, yeah,
it does
100%.
Make you feel like you're really not part of the gang. And that is as much in your head as in anybody else's head. But you do also get, like, it takes a long time. As you say, this is only 8 months. It takes a while for people to accept that I've given up drinks. So stop asking.
asking me, am I sick? Yeah. Am I on antibiotics?
Yeah.
Or what the story? Well, they weren't asking me now, in fairness, that was I pregnant? But anyway, but what I would say to her is that you can still be crack. I think in your own head, you start to believe the baloney that I'm no crack because I'm just drinking fizzy water. I'm a traitor. I'm spoiling the party. You know, I'm not kind of going. But you can still have crack without being drunk if you release your mind from that mindset. The other thing which I found quite useful was, instead of drinking fizzy water, drink something that looks and makes you feel a little bit more like you're drinking alcohol, like a mocktail.
You can, and you can get like the 0% gin and tonics, which gin and tonic is very good. And it makes you feel, and they taste quite similar.
And then you feel like you're not, and people stop asking you because it looks like you're having a drink.
If you do, like, unfortunately, if you get like a Diet Coke or something, or a Coke, people are like, are you pregnant? Like, that's the first thing. Are you pregnant or we're into drinking? Do you know? So it, there's little steps you can take.
And I definitely would experiment with alcohol-free drinks.
Yeah.
There's lovely alcohol-free beers as well, which are quite nice.
Yeah.
So I would,
and you don't have to stay for the whole night either. You know what I mean?
See, that's the other thing.
The start is always probably the best part for you when you're on this kind of journey, I suppose. You know, when you've only had a drink or two and everyone else, they're on the same level. But there is, as she says, there is that point where everyone starts to get progressively louder. And that's when I have been out before where I haven't drank and I just start yawning. And I just, like, I have to hit the deck. Like, I just start yawning. I'm like, do you know, as if these people are...
That's not good, AD, though. You can't be yawning. That's really going to not make you popular. You're yawning with your fizzy water.
I know a guy who is from Mayo and has never drank in his life. And obviously the one that we ended.
I'm surprised you even managed to say Mayo.
Sorry.
He's very upset.
I'm,
as a Kerry woman.
I'm a true Kerry fan. But everyone, when they won, everyone went up to him and was like, would you ever have a drink now? Never drank in his life.
Yeah.
Hadn't had alcohol. They're like, ah, go on. Go on. You have to.
You have to have a drink now.
Finally. Yeah. The texter has that said they stopped drinking. They feel like they've drifted away from the friend group. Their friends are the problem. I hate to say it. I don't drink, but still go out with my friends and have fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's as much in her head as it is in everybody else's head.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, it's like everything else. People
and the thing is, if she was doing other, like, she hasn't said, like, she obviously maybe has other hobbies, but if she filled her life with other activities as well, it wouldn't feel so kind of barren or something.
Yeah.
That she feels like this was her only outlet, but it actually isn't.
Yeah.
And this could be a nice decision. And then, you know, if you filled up your life in other ways, when you come to those nights out, like, you'll have great crack and you won't be as bothered by the fact that. Yeah.
But it does say something if the only time she's meeting her friend group is when it's drink involved. And that's not just her.
That's a reality for most people.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, small steps.
I gave up drinking when I started college. That was the end of one friendship in particular, even though I started again once I'd finished the course. Find new friends, says
that's
Sue.
That's easier said. No, don't throw your friends.
Yeah.
Friends are too precious.
There's also a middle ground for the person who has given up drinking. He called me alcohol-free some nights and other nights just limit your alcohol intake. For me, some nights I have a maximum of 2 drinks, bottles of beer, not pints. And I eke them out longer than I used to. I never get in rounds and my friends have gotten used to these rules.
Yeah.
I am poisoning myself now and don't try to force more on me. That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Kathy says, I've never drank alcohol, but people have assumed I've been drunk because I have such a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when you're so used to going out and drinking, it is very hard to make that transition. And you, as you say, it's in your head. You think that you can only have a night out.
And you can't. You can have perfectly good crack when you're not drinking.
Somebody else says you can act uninhibited if you are sober and appear to be good crack in front of your friends. Fake it till you make it. Have a threesome with your friends' husbands. Ed says, your panel are onto something. The two women are obviously operating as a team.
Mm.
And when they get bored with your texter, they'll probably move on to someone else. Perhaps they are working their way through the office.
Just call me Detective O'Connell. I picked that up now.
God.
Interesting.
I stopped drinking at 25 due to my then boyfriend's infidelities, not being aware enough. Still married, the arse, 25 years on. Life is epic. Still don't drink. Second husband, full life, and I'm still good crack.
Good woman.
Sorry, hang on a minute. The first fella she married...
She was like, they were drinking too much. She didn't realise about the serial infidelity.
Okay.
But she ditched him.
And now she's fair. Good,
I'm glad. That's good.
I gave up drink. I feel I'm zero crack. In fact, I feel like a crack vacuum, sucking all the crack in the room. I don't like sucking crack, but I've no choice. Available for threesomes. my wife often gets a tonic water in a fishbowl glass. Everyone thinks she's having a gin and tonic.
I think that's a huge thing to do.
If you're getting, say, you can get the 0.0 Guinness now,
yeah,
and Yeah. Ask for the, because you can get the 00 glass and the normal Guinness glass. I know people who, if they're ordering like an actual alcoholic Guinness, get thick if they get it in a 00 glass.
Right.
Like that's now beyond like, isn't it?
It's a bit too,
I'm 31. If you ask me who, people who know me, they'd probably describe me as a bit of a player. I've had plenty of one night stands over the last 6 years. I can chat women up, take them home and leave the next morning without ever wanting anything more. When I was 25, my childhood sweetheart died suddenly. We weren't together at the time, but in the back of my mind, I always thought we'd get back together. Since then, I've become very good at keeping women at arm's length. I enjoy the attention, but I never catch feelings. Something happened recently that shook me a bit. I slept with a woman from my hometown, and afterwards, lying in bed, she said she'd chosen me because she just came out of a relationship and knew I was safe, that I was the kind of man who never wants anything serious. I laughed it off, but since then I've been mulling it over. I've said those words to women myself. Hearing them reflected back made me realise that's how people see me now. Part of me feels like moving on would somehow mean leaving my first love behind. Another part knows I can't spend the rest of my life hiding behind casual sex because ultimately my ex is gone. How do I start feeling something when all I can think about is her? Oh, that's a
this
sad
broke
one.
My heart. Oh, this wow. really broke my heart. Because 31, same age as me. And like, I suppose to come to that stage in your life, obviously what it sounds like, there's obviously a lot of grief there and hasn't maybe...
Unprocessed grief,
definitely. And is obviously using sex as a way to block people out and block feeling. Because I'd say what has happened here is the hurt of obviously, you know, the ex dying. I think when you lose someone, it's something I found with my mother dying last year, that you get really afraid of like letting good things into your life, and you're like, because you're terrified they're going to get taken away from you again.
Yeah.
And it's really, really hard to let people in, and it's so, so, so terrifying. So I really, really sympathize with this letter, and I think the only way you can do it is like, not to be so like duh, but like I would say therapy 100%, because he has a lot of unprocessed grief, and be able to work through that. And then I think slowly but surely, even though it does take a long time, you know, to kind of realise you, like, it's okay to open up to people again. Mm. And like, you're young, you're 31, like you, your whole life's ahead of you. Like, you shouldn't block out affection or love.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I thought this letter was profoundly sad. And I'm sorry that this man lost his childhood sweetheart so young, because nobody expects people of that age to die suddenly. So I think in the letter, he has shown quite a high degree of self-knowledge.
Self-aware.
And he's thought about this a little bit. And I think he seems to have spent quite a bit of time reflecting on the ex. And he, I think he understands that he's using the casual sex as a way of avoiding to forming bonds or attachments with everybody. And as you said, and I'm sorry you lost your mum last year. Your mum must have been quite young as well.
She was young, yeah. She's 66.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, so it's
very young, yeah.
And it puts your body into shock. And I'd say what's actually happening now with him is that he's probably, and being so young, if they were like 25 and that happened, like, I just don't know how you'd even deal with it. And I think what's happening now is probably his body and his mind are catching up and are probably like, you need to start breaking through this grief that you haven't processed. Because it's like that girl that he slept with held a mirror up to him, which is probably what he needed to.
Yeah.
But he was probably thinking that himself anyway, and he has mulled over it. And
the other thing which you will know is that grief is not easy, but it's not linear either. It's not a straightforward like,
and then it doesn't
time
fade
will heal
out.
At all.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. It comes in waves and it comes and goes, and you can think you're feeling fine and you're getting over it in inverted commas, and then it hits you again. So I agree with you that I think he could definitely do with some counselling and speaking to somebody about all of that. And I think that while he's doing that, he should park the casual sex thing for the minute.
Definitely.
Because I think
stay
that's only just
clouding
all the waters.
Because he has a lot of stuff, I think, to work on
I think so. But I think if he does that, you know, I think because he has a good degree of self-awareness going in, I think that he would find that really helpful.
Yeah,
and he then hopefully would be able to get back to a place where he can form relationships, because one feels from the letter that's what he's looking
for.
But
he's looking for it.
Yeah. And he deserves
probably a bit of him as well, maybe because she died so young. Maybe he thinks he doesn't deserve to be happier to move on. But like, you do, like, you do. Like, I've that a lot too. It's kind of like, well, this person can, so I can't either. But that's not what they would want for you. You know what I mean? But as you say, I think it
And he obviously has a lot of regrets because he did say they weren't together at the time that she died.
But he thought so, that they would get together. Yeah,
he
so there's
always
a lot
assumed,
there. Yeah, and I think it's like anything. It's like using like alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
He's probably using sex as well to help him like feel just something, deal. But he's probably just deal with it.
Yeah, well, it's a way of getting affection numb. Without actually
but, like,
getting...
You deserve some happiness and you deserve people to open yourself up again. Yeah. So
probably also because he was only 25 and when it's an unexpected death, when you're young, that jolts everything.
Really shakes
you. Like if it's not in your case, 18, obviously, but if like you lose a parent, but they're elderly and kind of everyone's preparing for it kind of thing.
It's more natural.
That's one, it's, it, you know, yeah. But
and
if
you
it's
often
just
hear,
out of the
blue. If someone dies, say if they were 40 and then the person maybe who was like attached to them comes to 40, they're kind of like, I'm 40 now.
Yeah.
They didn't make it past 40. Yeah. And probably in his head, he's probably stuck back in that time because she was 25 and he's like, well, how come I've got to 31 and she didn't?
Yeah.
So there's so much there.
Yeah,
the
there
creator,
is.
Like, I really do think like you deserve to give yourself that chance to work
but
on yourself.
But he needs to make his grief the project.
Yeah.
And not,
it's not anything else. Not, yeah. And that will all come and being able to get into relationships again and to be able to open yourself up will come, but you have to do
the work. And if he's not comfortable with immediately going to see a counsellor, I would also suggest the library is a great place to go. And self-help books can be really helpful. You know, books about grief and dealing with grief
and a lot
can
of
be very helpful.
TikTok now talk about grief. I found a lot of solace from people who'd been through similar. So we find a lot of resources there and even YouTube and that can really help. Because there are people who've been through it as well. You know, there'd be a lot of people in his shoes and... Mm.
Though, his last line though, it says, how do I start feeling something when all I can think about is her?
I know.
Yeah.
In a way, how do I phrase this kindly? But it's like because she died, his feelings have
frozen.
Stuck. Yeah, he's frozen.
But he wasn't
time.
With her at the time and they may never have got back together. Mm-hmm. He may well have. They both may have naturally moved on together.
I think there's probably guilt and regret and a whole load of things knitted into the grief as well. Yeah. You know, which is why I think he could benefit from
professional help.
Park
the casual sex.
Yeah.
Make grief and yourself
your
project.
Yeah.
And then
everything
else will follow.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's had a breakthrough. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the
thing. He's opened the door himself.
Yeah.
Which is actually good in a way. He kind of knows the answer.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah.
Which is he just needs help on navigating it.
Yeah. Back to drinking and drinking zero Guinness is like watching porn on the radio, according to Colm in Cork.
Where can you have turned?
These one-liners are fantastic.
They're very good today. What's wrong with you?
Well, Colm, you should tune into our late-night programming here on News Talk. It's absolutely filthy. Barbara and Aidan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.